a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back to the show here. Scott Mitchell and Jeremiah Jensen from KSL Sports, subbing for the absent Alex Carey. So right now the Jazz are losing.
Speaking of absent.
17-11 early. We are 6 minutes to go in the first quarter here. Which would you rather watch right now? So if you're on Monday night and you got Monday night football, you got the New York Giants, and you have the Jazz, who are because the Thunder, that's a team the Jazz should beat, right?
Should. Although I will say this about the Thunder, they're only 2.5 games behind the Jazz in the standings.
They're a playoff team then right now?
Currently in the top 8.
Wow. So they're a decent team.
They are making a run now. They are coming together, and you'd expect a team with Chris Paul on it to fight and claw and scratch and overachieve, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't like Chris Paul.
You know what? I don't even think Chris Paul's mom likes Chris Paul.
I'm not even sure Chris Paul likes
Chris
Paul.
Like, he's an incredible player, but man,
he is
difficult.
Doesn't he just look ornery all the time?
He is ornery.
Like, come on. What?
He can't turn it off.
What? Why?
That's why he's great. He can't turn it off. You know, how many guys do you play with in the NFL that just couldn't turn it off?
Well, Barry Sanders would fall asleep, I kid you not, on the sidelines during a game. So
that's the complete opposite.
I know. I mean, he would hand the ball to the official. He never like there was no emotion in Barry Sanders.
Right.
But there was like underneath it all.
Well, you like tell by the way he
there
played.
Was a fire like nobody's business.
Of course.
Marino was a jerk. He wasn't a jerk. He was super competitive though.
That's kind of like Chris Paul.
But
like,
then
Paul's a good human being from all accounts. But he is unbelievable to work with. Teammates have a hard time with him. Coaches have a hard time with him. Everybody around him is just miserable because he's miserable because all he cares about is competing and winning. It doesn't turn off.
My my agent, who I stay in contact with, he's in Baltimore, Maryland, and he's been in the NFL forever. And he told me recently, he said, there are a lot of guys in the NFL now that just aren't good people. He just said they're just, and he's really selective with the players because he doesn't want to deal with that kind
of
stuff. So, all right. So this game on Saturday, I don't know that I had like the scenario that actually happened even crossed my mind.
You weren't prepared for what you witnessed Friday night.
I don't think anyone
in Santa Clara. I wasn't either.
Because it's basically, we're going to win the game, right?
And Vegas said you're going to win. The experts said they were going to win.
Oregon's not
they
been
were
playing,
penciled in for that playoff spot.
So it was the worst case scenario is the Rose Bowl. Like, you didn't think of, like, oh my goodness, we're not even going to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and the my initial like gut feeling about this was like, this was such a good season, but it's really it feels almost like a waste now. It just feels It's like it's so sad that here we're on national TV. We're the only game in the United States of America. Anyone who's going to watch anything and watch sports and watch football is dialed into this game, and they just saw a dud. And you're just like, that's what people are going to remember about Utah. And you just you felt, at least I did, like total failure in this season.
Here's a harsh reality. They won 11 games this year, and they have a chance to win a 12th.
Right.
This is all significant. They will not beat a team this year that had more than 7 wins.
Yeah, see, that's...
Think about that.
I know.
And we defended it all
but
year long.
But how many
long.
Did they play?
That's well, the problem.
They played one. They played USC, who won 8.
Lost.
And they lost that game.
And played Oregon.
And they played lost. Oregon and lost.
We kind of put it off
so
all year long
this
because
team
we thought
really wasn't that good.
We thought the Utes were going to play that and beat that team in the Pac-12 championship game, and we thought that team was Oregon, and it didn't happen. And now you're looking back on it. That's the fun thing about college football is you just take it week by week, right? And all these things happen, but at the end you can evaluate and you can see where things are at. And I think this program, even the fan base, has to take an honest look at what this was. It was a great season. 11 wins. You don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
But was this one of the greatest Utah teams of all time?
So
I watched 04. That was special. Yeah. I covered the 08 team. Yeah. That team was special, and that team finished.
Yeah.
This team didn't. And so as harsh as that sounds, I can't put them in that same category. I just can't do it.
Didn't you feel like that they were going to finish, though? I mean, really.
What was the theme all week long last week? Unfinished business.
Yep.
They couldn't finish.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to happen. I predicted it was going to happen. I called it before the season. I went on various radio stations, even on our Utah preview on KSL, and I said they're going to go 12-1, and they're going to win the Rose Bowl. They went 11-2 and didn't. Not. I said win the Pac-12 championship, go to the Rose Bowl, win the Rose Bowl. I was off by one, and the one was what I wasn't expecting on Friday night.
Yeah, it was just so, I mean, so brutal. And so I just didn't feel anything after. I mean, you're just like, you're just dumbfounded, right? You're just numb about all this. And you just go, how in the world, what did I just see? And then all of a sudden, the next day shows up. And I have to tell you, Jeremiah, I didn't want to watch another football game ever. Mm. I was just like,
You're not alone.
I'm just like, I don't want to see any of this. I don't want to talk about it.
Felt
I don't want
to
be around
fans.
It. Just don't want to see any.
Yeah. So you're going through the stages of grief, aren't you? Isn't that what was going on this weekend?
Is that what happened? The Utes died?
So there's the shock and the denial, and then you go through the anger. Have you felt the anger yet?
Well, the anger is like, you're one game. Come on.
Yeah.
Seriously. One game away.
You were prepared for this.
How can you not?
It all came down to this. Yeah, you were supposed to be ready for this.
How can you? And then I go through. Then here's the next thing I go through. Well, recruiting's done. Like, they're not, you know, all these. You know,
now you're in depression.
Right.
It's all ruined.
Right? It's just like.
We're
seriously.
Never going to be great.
How do you, you know, how do you recover from this? How do you. As a fan, where's the optimism? Because okay, and we're gonna talk. Well, we'll talk about the bowl games in a minute.
Let me throw out something that maybe will give people optimism, help you get through the depression part, and get to, you know, restoring hope. They just got a grad transfer from the SEC into the program today.
So we're stealing all the SEC players.
Whatever it takes.
We got a Big 12 guy last year.
I know. So the quarterback room is pretty full. There's talent in there. Who's going to win? That's going to be fun. That'll get fans energized. Spring's going to be a lot of fun up at Utah because we want to know who the next quarterback's going to be. Tyler Huntley had a great career.
All right. We're going to take a break here, but before we go, all the O-line comes back, most of the wide receivers, mm-hmm. all the running backs. Mm-hmm. There are two very good quarterbacks, maybe three. Who knows who transfers? The D-line, the second-string D-line is – pretty much played
you
all
you know
year.
They're gonna be good
right and there's Devin Lloyd is coming back
and I'm a big fan of Sione and yeah. Sione Lund is gonna be really good.
Sione Lund, yes. All right, well, we're taking a break and you're listening to KSL's Unrivaled. We'll be back in just a bit.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.